You're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon, AM 1270, 99.7 on the FM band, heard all around the world on KAJO.com, and welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. We ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news, and after that, we'll invite your calls at 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you argue your question to our guest. Our guest today from the Grants Pass City Council, new Mayor Clint Scherf is in studio with us, and City Councilor Dwayne Yonker. Gentlemen, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio. Glad to have you with us here today.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Well, first of all, congratulations, Mayor, and welcome back.
Thank you.
Councilor Yonker. And lots of things to talk about here, and I'm not sure where to start, so I'm just going to start with one question here quickly to Dwayne, because, Dwayne, you also represent the district here in the state legislature, and, you say you're going to resign this position to take that. When will that happen? You're still obviously a city councilor officially right now.
Yeah, I will have a press release later today after our special meeting, putting out that time frame.
All right, all right. We are on your list, I assume.
I think you are.
All right, I would hope so. Once again, congratulations, Clint Scherf, the new mayor.
Thank you.
And my first question was going to be, what's going to be different? And then we got a press release, or at least saw the agenda for the special meeting this afternoon. After swearing in, I'm assuming you called a special meeting this afternoon?
Yeah, it was a coordination between new councilors coming in and councilors that are staying over, as well as myself. There's some, top items that we want to get on the agenda. We got into a special meeting. It's not a shock. These are items that me and the four other councilors, we ran on, we campaigned on. We got the approval of at least 50% or more of the city of Grants Pass to do, and we figure might as well do it first off and get the ball rolling and basically try to take back our city a bit and promote some and put some power and some spotlights in some different areas so we can actually bring up the prosperity of the city here.
All right. Well, certainly noble objectives. I was almost surprised at the urgency that seemed to be placed on it and doing it immediately after being sworn in with this rather than waiting for a weekly business session.
Well, it's been top of mind for everybody. There's some posing problems. The new people coming in, as well as myself, were not happy with some of the actions that have happened over the last 4 years. The community is not happy with some of the actions that have happened over the last 4 years. Instead of letting them fester and get into bigger problems, we decided to hit the iron while it's hot and try to get some turnaround. Basically, we want to stop the train, we want to turn it around, and we want to go to the different station because it's heading in the wrong direction right now.
All right, Dwayne, as one of the sitting and there are still some sitting established sitting councilors right now. What is their situation right now? How do you read the remaining councilors?
Well, if you looking at the topics that are on here, I think one of them, we're going to talk about is the Mitch shelter, and three of the four councilors voted against that for certain reasons that are left, mm-hmm. Myself being one of those. So I don't think that's a surprise. We had some reasons why. Councilor Pell and myself were about the building issues, and we're going to discuss those tonight. There's, a lot of severe things that are wrong with those buildings that we knew were, just by visually seeing them. Mine's a little bit long that because I've known Mr. Parker for a lot of years and I know the buildings. And so we're going to discuss that, the condition of the buildings and moving forward. I think there were some memos that came out that we'll discuss tonight about the resting sites that were kind of ignored back in October. And I think that we need to discuss those. I mean, that's 3 months ago. So to me, it's not really we're rushing into this. We're addressing the things that should have been addressed. So now that there's probably some people would say, well, you're rushing into it, but I don't really see that from, I think that's outside noise. I really think that these things have always been for the last 5 years. Maybe one day we won't have to talk about homeless
Well, we can all cross our fingers with that. And you keep saying tonight. I want to point out.
It's 3.
It's 3 o'clock this afternoon, and it will be streamed on the website for the city. And the public invite. It's a normal meeting other than being called at a special time. Is that correct?
It is considered a special meeting. So we called it to review topics that are within the agenda. Excuse me. It differs from a regular meeting as we're not going to have public comment because basically the items that we're going to address in the meeting do have individual public comment that they can have per item. So we're not going to basically have the very end of the meeting or, you know, in the portion of the meeting where you have general public comment because it is a special meeting. We're trying to, you know, be more efficient on time. And, you know, we do have a regular meeting coming very soon. So basically this meeting in general is focused around the topics on the agenda as well as the community's input should be focused on the topics of the agenda.
Okay, the public agenda, at least the one that I got yesterday afternoon, did have a public comment section listed in it, but each item then will have its own public comment section.
Yeah. Yes, each item is brought to the table, and there is information that's given by city staff. There is discussion that's proceeded with council and mayor, and then there's also public comment, and then we have the ability to comment back with, you know, after public comment. On each specific topic. Yes, the agenda that did come out yesterday was did have public comment. It was kind of because everything was kind of going a little bit fast. They had put that in there. I'd request to have that taken out because, again, want to shorten the meeting. We want to focus on the topics at hand.
All right, let's start with the topics at hand. First of all, Council Action A, resolution adopting allowable locations for camping in accordance with Ordinance 24-59-110. Comments on that. What is the goal here?
Oh, I can speak. Well, the goal, we're going to discuss the resting sites of J Street and 7th Street. There has been some issues around those sites affecting businesses and drugs and other things. And I think that's the top of where we're going to go is how do we address those issues? Is this reasonable having this open? Because when I look at reasonable, it has to be reasonable for everybody, not just a group of people. It's got to also be reasonable for the community, the businesses, and all that. So I think that's where the topic is going. Is this reasonable to keep allowing this to happen? We need to protect everybody in our city.
All right. I'm looking at what was published yesterday. And at the very bottom, it says the 755 Southeast J Street location will be removed as an authorized site. And the other location on Northeast 7th Street will still be allowed, but it will be altered somewhat in terms of the time that it can be inhabited. Is that fair? And what are we looking at here? Is there an explanation for all this? First of all, Mayor.
Juncker stated, we're going to be in full discussion of this. Basically, the idea is from the community outcry and the business outcry that is related and adjacent to that facility, we need to address the problems that are going on. It hasn't been – it's been overlooked, I think, since it's been opened. So we need to address that. The first and foremost would be to actually shut the J Street one down because it has been plagued with a lot of problems. Optics, increased crime in the area. You've got the actual location is not necessarily suitable for long-term use. And so we're actually going to put that into full discussion with the ability to shut that down in this meeting.
All right, let me add a couple of footnotes here. First of all, you can hear the crime reported on this station daily that happens at that location and associated with it. It's got to go away anyway by May in order to facilitate the construction of the water treatment plant.
Correct.
But in the meantime, how many people are we moving out of that and into where? Is that a fair question at this point?
It is a fair question at this point. We're going to get more information tonight to make that decision. I don't have the stats on that. I don't want to misquote you stats that I heard a couple weeks ago or a month ago. I'd rather leave that to what we're going to hear tonight and to misquote your stats and stuff. I just don't know at this point.
All right. Dwayne, you want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, I think that is a big discussion we're going to have, and I'm not sure that everybody, the problem with the law, you know, we're the only state that has this objectively reasonable, which is very vague. What might be objectively reasonable to me might be different to you. And so that law that says, hey, I think people are confused that maybe the city has to provide a space. And that was the old thinking before the court injunction was lifted, that you must provide a space for every person. And that's not, you know, from my being a legislator and talking to other attorneys, that would be, so we had a million, you know, refugees coming here. We have to give a place to them. I think that's a little bit objectively not reasonable. So I think that's part of the discussion. What is reasonable? And we're going to have that discussion tonight is, what is reasonable? What are we doing? And there's a lot of things we're doing in this community. I think people need to understand is, I have some thoughts for tonight that I have already said, because we've been doing a lot of things the last 4 years to improve housing, improve, you know, we down the street here, there's, you know, we're going to be opening up more treatment beds. There's a lot of things
we're doing. That's the construction that's going on Rogue River Highway.
Highway. Yeah. So there's a lot of things that the city has been working with other partners to expand things. We know we have a sobering center. We have the mission has a lot of beds there. There's a lot going on. So I think to say, hey, well, you're doing this, I think that's the discussion we're going to have tonight is like, well, what is objectively reasonable to this council? The last council that was there had a different feeling about it. And so I think we're going to have that discussion of what is objectively reasonable for the city of Grants Pass.
All right. One final question on this particular topic here from me is, are we opening ourselves up to another lawsuit? Do we have a reading on that? Or are we going to hear that tonight?
I don't know if there's a objectively reasonable lawsuit, because it can go many ways. I don't know the answer. I think that is up to the BI, the beholder. It's interesting. I've been a part of this, and I know Clint was a part of it in the beginning. Is I haven't met an attorney that agrees upon this yet.
It is a bit vague, but I think I'm going into this meeting as well as new counselors going into this meeting with the ruling from the Supreme Court. In the ruling from the Supreme Court, they actually recognized the shelters that we have in place currently, which previously they were not recognized. The Gospel Rescue Mission wasn't recognized previously. So when you have the highest court in the land saying, yes, you have three of it, available shelters for three different genders of people as well to take up. So, and we're looking at the fact that they're not utilized. I don't know the specific stats at this point, but the last time I heard, you know, Gospel Rescue Mission is never 50% full. So, at this point, I take the objectives from what the community has told me by their votes, saying that they kind of, as the taxpayers, as the footer of these bills, they want a little bit more accountability and want people to start, you know, if you need to get help, then they need to start getting help. And there is help out there. We have a list of nonprofits in the area that's just shy of 70 different organizations. I don't even think that includes all the churches that are in the area. And Pathways is a great organization that actually kind of gave us a whole synopsis on this a little while back. And they track and monitor all the monies that come in and out of these nonprofits, all the services that they provide. It's amazing how much is already here that's not being utilized. So I think you have a new council that's coming in with a mandate from the community that says we are more focused on public safety and making our community safe. So maybe we start cracking down a little bit more on these bad actors that are taking advantage of the city. So, you know, lo and behold, maybe your grandma or my mom or, you know, Dwayne's dad is, you know, they're going to fall through the cracks and not have the ability to use these services because you have people taking advantage of it. So I think this council is more focused on law and order and public safety to kind of squash down some of the bad actors that are in place, and so we can actually help the people that need help.
Let's move on to Council Action B and C on your next agenda, which is basically the same one, but resolution revoking that grant agreement between the city and the Mobile Integrative Navigation Team for that navigation center shelter at 220 Redwood Highway and at 210 Redwood Highway, basically the Parker Place.
I think we have to kind of pinpoint the topic on this. The topic, I spoke on the last meeting that the previous council voted this action in. I believe that the previous council went very quickly into their decision without research, without asking enough questions. Now we find out I'm a civil engineer by trade, so I basically know what fire code is. I eat, breathe, and live it on a daily basis for my clients. I know what a building inspection looks like without even having to look at the building inspection. I can look at the building. That building will not be able to be fire code, will not meet fire code, no matter what. The ability for fire code to be met is the number of people that you're going to service, not the number of people that would stay there at night. If Mint says 100 people are going to walk in and out of those doors during the day, but only 20 people are going to stay there at night, the fire department says, you need to service 100 people. So that building, that fire code now goes to the more extreme fire code because you're servicing more people. They don't have sprinkler system. The point is, I look at this from a building standpoint because that's where my background and experience is. There's no way that those buildings could be brought up to fire code in a time to service 50 people, 100 people, whatever Mint's going to do. So we're not looking at this as going after the organization. We're looking at this as a bad site. It's a bad building. It's not a good fit. And is this a good steward of our taxpayer dollars? And I don't think the new council is coming in thinking that.
All right, Dwayne, I know this is a strong topic for you. You want to weigh in again?
Yeah, there was a stipulation in the contract, the grant contract, that said that the building had to be inspected and approved by the council. And that's what we're doing tonight. I have in our packet, we have the building inspection. We'll have the fire chief there, and the buildings are structurally not safe. There is electrical issues. There's all kinds of issues. And I'm a realtor. I've been a realtor almost 9 years. I see building inspection all the time. I have several clients that are commercial buildings. So this is something I see a lot of, and we discuss this with my clients, you know, that they make a decision. And from my experience, I'm not a contractor, but I've flipped houses before. I'm probably a little bit more knowledgeable than the average person. These buildings probably shouldn't have people in them right now. There's a lot of safety issues that are involved that could be liable for the city maybe, or even the Mint themselves by what happens if a fire or something happens in these buildings. And I don't think it would be as like Clint said, as stewards of government money, the taxpayers, to say, hey, let's move forward with this. No, we're not going to. Obviously, I'm seeing where my hand's at, but the building inspections are really bad. And I actually made that comment back in December 3rd, and I was ignored. And so now the new council is looking at these inspections and saying, hey, either yay or nay. You know, that's how I can't tell you how everybody's going to vote, but I know where I'm at. These buildings are not structurally safe for people to be in, in my opinion.
All right. Are there alternatives both for that campground closure and the revoking of the grant to Mint? Where does that leave the city in that particular situation here?
So basically, if we go back to the campaign season, and you know, that's kind of the information that we've been working off of for the last few months here. The council coming in, they really championed talking to the community and saying that they wanted to organize the community, the city resources, with all the nonprofits and churches within the area, all the community organizations that are established to help your community. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to do a big outreach program. We're going to do a big push to organize and coordinate with these nonprofits and churches within our area, collate all the community organizations and see what we can do, see what resources are available. We know there's monies. Everybody's got monies for it. And then figure out, city has land in certain areas. I still am a huge proponent. I don't believe the city should own and operate any of these facilities. So, but we can work with these nonprofits to figure out where we can locate something for them. Again, I want to touch on the topic. I personally, and I believe any of these council members, we're not picking on one organization, Mint. We're picking on that actually specific place that they picked. It's not conducive for a shelter. It's not conducive to house more than 10 people. And some of the stuff that comes out in an inspection as well as the fire inspection will definitely have shown that. And, you know, it just kind of goes back to a lot of us stood up at that last council meeting on December 3rd and asked the council to take a beat, take a breath, ask six more questions, and they didn't. So we're now posed to ask all those questions and get to the root of the problem. So that we're, you know, again, being better stewards of the community's aspects.
Lots more questions to come, and we appreciate both of your candid opinions here. But I have some bills to pay, too. So, gentlemen, stand by. We'll be right back with the Tuesday Talk Show.
Cartwright's Market loves making...
You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Our guest today, New Mayor Clint Scherf, is with us, and City Councilor Dwayne Yonker. And we've been talking about some of the things coming up at this afternoon's special meeting called by the new council. And we were talking about what would be happening should some of these situations change with the Parker House and the J Street situation. But we talked about reaching out to the community and all of the nonprofits. I was kind of under the impression that an outreach had been made to the churches about helping with some of these situations and some of the other areas and nonprofits. Has that not happened? Has that not transpired?
You know, I'm not sure. I can only, you know, previous of yesterday before being sworn in, I was only privy to whatever the public was seeing as well. I don't believe there was enough, if there was any outreach. I know with the community, with the churches within your community, you do have to be respectful, and you do have to constantly bug them because they want to stay within their community. They want to help their community, but they're not the first to run to the front of the line and say, we did this, we did this, we did this. So you do have to approach them a little bit more differently than you do the federally funded nonprofits. But as for, to answer your question for outreach, I couldn't clarify that. I never saw anything that came out that outlined everything. There was the pathways is what I said. There they had an annual meeting, and that's where I got my latest information. And that's an outside organization that's not even affiliated with the city. So to corroborate and say that the city has done the outreach, I couldn't clarify that they have, and I don't think they've done it. So, and if they have, they haven't done it to my satisfaction. So we're going to do it again because right. I think it's incumbent on the people coming in and representing this community as local government to work with everybody and all the resources they have in the community.
Okay, I've got a little less than 3 minutes. I want to go to Dwayne. I know there has been some outreach, but one that comes to mind is campers parking in their cars in community churches. That virtually went nowhere. Has there been other outreaches to any organizations, churches, nonprofits that you're aware of?
I think people need to understand that a lot of the churches do donate. They're probably, from my speaking with them, they're donating to the mission. They can hold the mission accountable. That's kind of where, the mission doesn't take any federal or state tax dollars. It's all local donations or other donations to that stuff. So, and it, obviously it's a religious-based thing, so it's more aligned with churches. I would say there, the Rock, and then we have the, there's things they're doing there. Edgewater had a few years ago, they had they were doing a warming shelter, and they did it for like 3.5 years. And from my conversations, they weren't getting the success that they thought, and so they shut it down. So, each individual church has their board and things they do that they feel is right. And I know that some churches are still, if you need you need a help, that you're willing to go there, and they'll put you to work or whatever, mm-hmm. things like that. But I know that has been gone down a little bit too, because a couple of the pastors I talked to said that, well, they're getting more handouts versus wanting to work. So that, I think that hurts them a little bit, that that they're willing to help people, but what are they willing to do to change their lifestyle? I don't really want to speak for every church because there's so many here.
Well, then we get into the area of high barrier places to rest and inhabit. That high barrier, it seems to be the tripping point in our area.
Yeah, I would say yes and no. The thing I have to point out, and I constantly point out to people, is there's not a law on the books that says that we have to put a low barrier shelter in. The term low barrier has come and been kind of pushed down our throats because the community organizations, the nonprofits that are dealing with the homeless people are trying to give them the most – the easiest path to work with. we're kind of 6 years past this injunction being in place.
I've got about 10 seconds, Clint.
So I think our community has come out and spoken and said that they're against giving the handouts anymore, and they want to give hand-ups, and we need some accountability on both sides.
All right. Thank you very much, new Mayor Clint Scherf. Stay tuned. More to come after the top of the hour news.
The Toasted Barrel is bringing...
Welcome back. The Tuesday Talk Show continues. The phone lines are open. If you have a question or comment for our guest, the number 541-472-1270. If you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest. New city mayor, Clint Scherf, city councilor, Dwayne Yunker are in studio today. And we've been talking about primarily the, special meeting that has been called for 3 o'clock this afternoon in council chambers, going through that council action agenda. And we've gone through about half of it right now, but let's continue as we go to council action. D, a resolution reallocating general fund resources from the caveman pool to public safety. Mayor.
So basically, the caveman pool has been kicked around for years and years and years. It's in disrepair. It needs to get some upgrades and, but when you start to actually research this, and obviously it's gone back and forth with numerous councils, and we're at the point where the previous councils made decisions to do a major upgrade and basically a demo and a remodel in regards to, I think the latest bid was about 6 point something million. So just
shy of $7 million.
Yeah, just shy of $7 million. And that's to rebuild a facility that is outdoors in for operation for 78 days. So somebody was doing the math. I think it was the new executive director from the YMCA was talking to me a little bit about this, and I think he did a little math, and it was roughly almost $8,000 a day for operation a year for this thing. So I think there's a better ways to deal with this. Nobody wants to really get rid of the icon of the caveman pool. I mean, I grew up there as a kid doing swim lessons, but we kind of have to put in context the fact that this is a facility – that's uncovered that can only be utilized for a certain amount of, you know, operation days during the year. So I think we can organize with the YMCA. I think we can organize with the city school district because this piece of property is on school district land, but we actually own it. So it's right in the middle of the heart of the high school. So I think there's some talks that we can have with the school board district, and I believe that what we need to do is, and I think the council is behind me on this, the new coming council is to utilize some repair and upgrade, keep the dollars down, and look for maybe a different spot to put this thing and build something that could be used as a community center instead of something that's only used for a portion of the summer.
All right. Dwayne, you're a member of the sitting council that has worked on this. Your input.
Yeah, there's another situation that's come up since this, too, and that's why we have to look at some of this money. We have a safety issue in this city with the public safety. We have a we applied for a grant for a repeater, and because we have some dead spots in the city for safety that we can't get communication for, and that's $1.2 million. It just happens to be the ARPA money is $1.2 million, and so, you know, the new council is saying, hey, well, public safety is our number one concern. It's the pool is not a number one concern. It's a luxury item. You know, it's a nicety, not a necessity. So that's another part of this pool we're going to look at is reallocating that $1.2 million to get our communications back up so that our police and fire can, you know, operate, you know, to the full max capacity. And so that's part of the discussion there. I think Clint's right on the pool is, again, a pool's nice. I own a pool, but it's not a necessity. You know, not everybody has a pool. We are a river community. We got three rivers. We have a YMCA. So I think we need to look at those, you know, what is a necessity? And another part of this is they were going to use some urban renewal dollars. And I think urban renewal was not set up to build pools. It is to help bring more tax dollars in the community in a certain area. And I think that's for me, looking at it, is these dollars are being used in the wrong way.
So we would divert some of the funds that have been allocated, the ARPA funds in particular, from Caveman Pool to installing a new repeater for public safety. And I think the ideal location was what, Dollar Mountain? Is that what I understand?
I think that's in the booklet here. I didn't get into the extreme details of where the repeaters are at. And what, I mean, I'm just looking at the need of our city and what, you know, when our police chief and fire chief come to us and say, hey, we really need this, you know, this is, and we have this money that we can, we have one-time money. Let's, so the council is going to look at that tonight or 3 o'clock today and say, is this a, something we want to move forward with and help our public safety.
Now, the ARPA dollars had to be either allocated or spent by a certain time. Are we in danger of losing any of those ARPA dollars?
No. We changed how they were set up in December. I'm not the finance guy, so I'll probably but we did a thing that allowed us, if something happened, we could reallocate them to somewhere else. So we're fine with that.
So we'll not lose those ARPA dollars once again. Okay. And we're also talking about urban development dollars, too. So the council will reconvene as the Urban Renewal Agency after this special meeting and deal with that. You have to deal with the Caveman Pool in both entities, correct?
Correct.
Yep.
Yeah, that's why it does show up on the council actions as a couple different items, but those couple different items actually are the same topic. But yeah, you have to we'll adjourn as council and reconvene as urban planning and then adjourn and do it again. It's you know, we go through the procedures.
You have to cross all of the T's and dot all of the I's. Continuing with your agenda, you're looking at sunsetting some of the committees here, the Collaborative Economic Development Committee, the Housing Advisory Committee, the Sustainability and Energy Action Committee. Reasons for sunsetting those committees, are those cost-saving measures?
They are in some aspects. The committees are set up to be a liaison between the community and the council. They're kind of like as a workforce as well, as they're kind of doing some of the micromanaging of certain topics and getting some community input. They're very vital to council, but they do serve at the pleasure of the council. So when you have a new council coming in that is looking for efficiency and to tighten the belt and basically get more dollars squeezed from one side to get out to public safety, we're looking at committees that we don't feel that they are actually beneficial to the betterment of the city at this point in time. Specifically is you have a Collaborative Economic Development Committee. We also have an Economic Development Department within the city. So if we're paying – my personal way of looking at this is, you know, if we're paying the city staff to do something and, you know, these community committees are volunteer. It still does take staff time to facilitate these meetings and document these meetings as well as give them research material and everything. So you're still using city dollars for that, and we're kind of looking at it like you've got a department that's doing double duty here. So how do we efficiently go forward? And I think what we're trying to do is look at these three topics, these committees, as underneath that efficiency lens and see if we can't better that situation.
All right. Dwayne, did you serve as liaison to any of those committees?
Yeah, I was on the Housing Advisory Committee, so as the liaison for that committee.
All right, and you do you endorse the dissolving of this committee or the sunsetting of the committee?
I think when the committee was first set up, they were going through a big change to the state, and that change has been done now. There is some other topics, but I'm looking at these three committees were brought up, and I would support us looking at them. There is definitely, and I don't think this is just the end of it either. I think they're going to look at all the committees. In the future agenda, that's what I've been told. So they're going to look at every committee. There's some that have to be by statute we have to have. These are just three that they started with that came up, and we're going to look at those tonight and discuss them and have a vote. You know, do we keep them? What do we do with them? And so, you know, when again, it's a new council, new agenda. You know, people get upset. Look at the president right now. He's already getting ready for his agenda. You know what I'm saying? These counselors have their agenda. It might not be my agenda, but it might be their agenda. And when you have new leadership, it's a new way of doing things. So they need to respect the new leadership.
All right. Listen, I want to thank you both very much for taking us through this agenda for the special meeting here this afternoon, once again at 3 o'clock, and it will be streamed live on the city's website. So you can certainly be part of it, or you can be part of it inside council chambers at 101 Northwest A Street. Now, Mayor, I'm going to put you right back on the spot again because you asked for it. Do you have any special goals for your tenure as mayor? What moved you to file for this particular position? I know you've been on the council before. So look ahead. Where would you like to see this this city in 4 years?
So I do have, if you want to say I have a personal agenda, yes, I do have an agenda. I was born and raised here. I did actually grow up on the farm out in kind of the country area, a little bit out in the county area. But, you know, we rode our bikes in the middle of Grants Pass in the summertime. When we were in high school, we cruised up and down 6th and 7th Street, which nobody does anymore. It was just a lot safer. It was a lot different. Now, granted, it was a different time. But, you know, I look at it like I'd like to bolster the economic growth here. I drive up and down the streets and you see a number of commercial buildings that are vacant. You see a number of undeveloped commercial properties. There's just so much that we can do, I believe, to bring more businesses here. And it goes full circle. If you have a strong economy that is supporting your community, then maybe those people can actually afford houses when we have an affordable housing crisis. Maybe those people would make a little bit better decisions and not go to the street corner and do that illicit drug. Maybe they, because they've got a better job that they've got to keep up. I think if you look at a problem, you should look at a problem from six different angles. And one thing I want to attack the city of Grants Pass with is economic growth. I want to bring businesses. I want to make this area prosperous. I want to give employment opportunities to people that live here. So that's going to be my main focus for, you know, my tenure, as you say, as well as public safety is high on the list for both myself.
My next question. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, by both myself and a lot of the council members that are coming in. I spent a lot of time on the campaign with the four council members coming in, and they bring skills to the table as well. I mean, we have a retired a drug and alcohol counselor. She was a drug and alcohol counselor for 13 plus years. She brings an immense amount of insight into that area of our community. We have a retired military guy that is really promoting public safety, and has a great sense of organization and everything. You have small business owners that are within the council now. So they have their pulse on what it takes to keep a business going, to keep a small business going. So I think everybody brings a good skill set to the table. I think you're going to have, and I guess I'd end with, I just have a very optimistic outlook on our future.
All right, well, we'll ask some specific questions about that when we come back right after this important message.
The realization of...
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. We may have a caller online right now. I think we caught them in time. Good morning. You're on the air. Do you have a question or comment for our guest today?
Yes, I do. Can you hear me?
Yes, just barely, ma'am. Speak up.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, yes, my question is to the new mayor. I was wondering what he was talking about in the newspaper the other day, because he had vehemently cussed in the paper. That wasn't a good look. But my question to him is, what was Vanessa Ogier lying about, and how are you going to bring a community together if you are going to start tearing down things that they love so much?
So my comments about Vanessa was, the newspaper, had quoted me, and I had an interview with Vicky at the Daily Courier, and I started my interview and stated that I was still, not sworn in as an official, mayor, and I was talking to her as a citizen of Grants Pass. So I was not as diplomatic as I could have been, and I actually stated that to her. So she quoted me to the letter, which is absolutely totally fine, because I did need to get a point across. But what I was talking about with Vanessa's comments and her huge email was basically she was accusing the new council and myself of posing a special meeting, having a special meeting out of context and ramming things down the throat of the community. And which is, we actually consulted with the city attorney, and there was nothing that we did out of course. There was nothing that we did illegally. So it was just, to me, it was just her fueling the fire to get discord for the new council coming in, so we would have a rocky start. That was my personal opinion.
That answer your question, ma'am?
No, it did not answer my question. And the question is, 99% of what you said was a lie. And I've been listening to you, and as far as the 99% was a lie, everything that she said, you guys are going to mothball or wreck or dismantle or however you want to word it, you guys are actually doing. So is she lying, or is the council not going to do everything she said?
My statement to the Daily Courier newspaper was said in the context of a citizen, as well as I spoke with the reporter, and she quoted me with dramatic effect. So my comment was for dramatic effect, which that's what she put in there. I don't believe that what Vanessa was stating was actually true, because we did not pose a or have a secret meeting or have an illegal meeting, as she kept saying. Her explanation of topics, that is her personal opinion. I wasn't commenting on those her personal opinions whatsoever. We are going to work to go forward as a council, as a body that is a representation of the community, what the community wants. The community voted for the new council coming in. The community voted for me. The community didn't vote for Vanessa or Sarah or Brian, and they are leaving office. So we're going to try to turn the ship and point the ship in a direction that makes hopefully prosperous for the city of Grants Pass and bring up public safety and make it a safer place for everybody to live. That's our intentions.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. Thank you. And I do wish you guys success, because I do live here. But with that being said, I hope, and I truly, sincerely mean this, that you're going to represent all, not just your little niche.
Yes,
because
and
I've
I
seen
hope
you
so
guys,
too.
I've watched you guys, and I want to make sure that everybody gets represented here.
Yes, and I believe that's our intention, and that is soul-heartedly my intention as well, ma'am.
All right, ma'am.
Okay, well, we'll be watching then.
Thank you. Thank you for your call, ma'am. We appreciate that. Now, let's continue. Let's see. I do have plenty of time left here, so I want to continue. You talked about economic development, Mr. Mayor. What's your first step in order to encourage more economic development for the city of Grants Pass?
So the city of Grants Pass they started a department for economic development. This was started back in, I might have my dates wrong, but it was maybe 2019, 2020. Previous to that, we were using an organization called So Ready. So Ready is a great organization, but they are a statewide organization. So I kind of felt back when I was first serving as a counselor that So Ready was not necessarily representing Grants Pass as well. Not that they were not represented us, but basically we were the smallest fish in the pond when you're talking about Jackson County and Douglas County and all the counties up and down the I-5. So when you're not getting as much service, I was really big push to get an actual department within the city building. So now that we have that department, I have been following them for the last 4 years, and I don't feel that they're actually doing as good a job as they possibly can. So we're actually going to investigate that. One of our topics in the next coming future is going to be to go through some of the city departments and get a better handle on what they do for us and how they can actually be maybe run a little bit more efficiently or even propped up to run a little bit better to get for the benefit of the city. To bring that back full circle, economic development is the basis of bringing new business into our community to fill the vacant commercial buildings. It is also this duty for them to prop up local business, to foster growth in local business. So there's a lot to be done, but one of the biggest things I want to focus on is actually bringing outside business in. I'll end with this prime example. why do we, the city of Grants Pass, not have the Amazon distribution center? They went to White City. I actually talked to a gentleman out of the state of Arizona who builds these Amazon distribution centers, and he told me, he's like, Grants Pass, city of Grants Pass. Oh, yeah, yeah, we're building one in White City. Never heard of the city of Grants Pass. Just for the fact that they'd never heard of the city of Grants Pass, and we have Spalding Industrial Park, which has a railroad going to it. It's right off the I-5. I just don't understand why we were in the mix on that one. So there's something I want to promote to go forward is get more businesses to come in.
All right, briefly, and I'm going to give you 2 minutes for this one. Public safety, both police and fire, understaffed with full professionals, no doubt about that. We salute all of the pros out there working that. But is there a way to improve public safety?
Yes, there is a way to improve public safety. We're not going to have the right answers on day one, but we're going to work with Chief Hensman, and we're going to get resources that he needs. Currently, what I understand is the budget has the ability to bring in a few more police officers. But the stigma, maybe the stigma, if you want to call it, about being a police officer, maybe the lack of economic growth in our area, the lack of housing in our area, we haven't been able to either keep policemen here or promote new policemen to come here. So we're going to work with that, as well as try to figure out some more efficient ways to run other parts of our government to get more money allocated to the police.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're short on time, and Dwayne, I haven't ignored you on purpose here, but I had the new mayor on the hot seat and had to ask some questions. What should people take away from, first of all, today's program, and what should they look forward to this afternoon and in the future for Grants Pass as your position as a city councilor?
Yeah, you know, obviously I'm going to be stepping down here really soon, and I think the new council is really reached out. You know, I encouraged them while they were, you know, coming as they won new mayor, they were mayor or city council, would be to go investigate all the departments. They've gone on ride-alongs. They've gone to the water station. They've gone to the sewer. I've really encouraged them to go out to the nonprofits, go to the mission, go wherever it is, and or go to talk to the parks people. I really encourage them to go out and learn about the city and what people do. The last mayor and some of the council members never did a ride along with police. I've done three in the last year or so. And, you know, why wouldn't we? We need to see what they're doing. I need to understand what the firefighters, police officers, whatever are doing. So I'm really encouraged by them moving forward, and we'll see what happens.
All right. One final question. And I think I asked this one earlier, too. You stated that you'll be stepping down soon. We don't know exactly when, do we?
I know when to win.
I had to ask. I want to thank you both very much, Mayor Clint Scherf, City Councilor Dwayne Yonker. You've been listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Clean.